Do you know that David Wilkerson prophesied about this very thing in 1973? Are you ready to be shocked? Stay tuned.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Just yesterday, the Presbyterian Church USA made a decision, and they will now be ordaining practicing gays and lesbians into ministry, accepting, embracing them as clergy. Just yesterday. This Saturday, I plan to be in New York City for a very special day, a day that will be a sober day in many ways, and also a day of rejoicing and remembrance, a memorial service for Pastor David Wilkerson, who died in a tragic car accident, as you know, just a couple weeks back, shortly before it would have been his 80th birthday. Why do I mention these two things, one on the heels of another? You're about to find out. Michael Brown, thanks for joining us today on The Line of Fire. Here's the number to call to get in the conversation, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Online, askdrbrown.org or Facebook, AskDrBrown. I believe, friends, that God for some time has been sounding alarms, has been giving us warnings, that there's been much handwriting on the wall, that we have not awakened to what's happening in our society. I just came from a pastor's luncheon. I'm in Raleigh, North Carolina today, about 2.5 hours outside of Charlotte. Just came from a pastor's luncheon, pastors, local business leaders, ministry leaders in Raleigh, maybe about 100 people there. And I said, I have comfort and pain because I know that if we live long enough, another 10, 20 years or less, every one of you in this room will come to me and say, brother, you were right. The things you were talking about, you were absolutely right. You warned us and we didn't hear, we didn't listen. The pain is, in many ways, it'll be too late. In many ways, so much of the damage will already have been done. I want to sound the alarm today, but not in a fearful way, not in a way that says there's no hope, but in a way that rouses our attention. It's Wednesday, which means we're focusing on moral cultural issues here on The Line of Fire. If you're with us yesterday, we focused on the book of Revelation. Tuesdays, we focus especially on biblical theology, apologetics, practical living. Wednesday, moral cultural issues. Thursday, Jewish people, Israel. Friday, phones are open. You've got questions. We've got answers. Monday, whichever the wind blows after the weekend, after the news, whichever way we feel led to go. But this is our day to focus on moral cultural issues. We've talked in past weeks, what does it mean to be a disciple? How should we live in the midst of society? I want you to hear this warning, though. This is 1973. David Wilkerson released a book, The Vision. Many of the things prophesied in that have come to pass already. I want you to hear these words. Remember, this is not 93. This is not 2003. It's not even 83. 1973, you have to understand how foreign and impossible and bizarre this sounded. Let's hear this prophetic warning from David Wilkerson.
Fourthly, I see homosexuals and lesbians. Welcome to the Super Church Union. I see this Super World Church in the guise of understanding, accepting homosexuals and lesbians into its fellowship. Homosexual and lesbian love will be vindicated by the leadership of this church union. Homosexuals will not only be welcome, but they'll be encouraged to continue in their practices. Homosexual and lesbian ministers will not only be ordained and given places of authority, they'll be heralded as a new breed of pioneer evangelists introducing new concepts of love and evangelism. I see in nearly every major city in the United States and around the world, homosexual churches catering exclusively to the spiritual needs of their own kind with full recognition from organized religion. Their Sunday school and church literature distributed to their children will suggest to teenagers that homosexuality is a normal and acceptable form of Christian practice.
Friends, this is reality today. This is not a prophecy. This has already happened. If we don't wake up now, what are we going to tell our kids and our grandkids? We'll be back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
A few years back, I read a book by two Christian attorneys, Alan Sears and Craig Austin, on the homosexual agenda, The Principal Threat to Religious Freedom Today. The title sounds a little extreme to some. It doesn't sound as extreme now as when it came out, what, 7, 8, 9 years ago. Now we see this unfolding in front of us day in, day out. It's hard to even look at the news without one of these issues coming up one way or another in the society. I'm not talking about being obsessed by them. I'm just talking about what's happening in the news and what's a Christian response to these things. Friends, we as God's people are supposed to be awake and alert, are we not? We as God's people should not be watching what's happening in the society and then lagging behind and then coming up with a Christian response. No, no, no. We as God's people should be in tune with our Father's heart, our Father's will, the God who has eternal plans, and we should always be relevant with our message to society, not by conforming to the society, not by becoming like the world. Then we become irrelevant because we're not bringing God's message, we're just being like the world. What we need to do is to conform to who the Lord is, to the image of Jesus, to the Word of God, and then what we have is truly relevant, even when it goes against the grain. Michael Brown, thank you for joining me today on The Line of Fire. It is my joy, really, my joy to be with you day in, day out. I look forward to the broadcast every single day. After every single day, I said, how can we make a greater impact on our listeners, serve our listeners better, advance the kingdom of God in our midst? So thank you for being part of the broadcast. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. There's a passage of Scripture I was looking at from the book of Isaiah chapter 58, where the Old Testament prophet was told, cry loudly, do not hold back, raise your voice like a trumpet, and declare to my people their transgression, to the house of Jacob their sins. By God's grace, I serve on this radio broadcast as a voice. There are many voices. I serve as a voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. That means God changing us and we go and change our world. That means that we become disciples and we make disciples and we have an impact on our society. That means that when you turn the light on in dark places, rather than the darkness making the light go out, the light dispels the darkness. It means that when you disseminate truth in the midst of error, rather than error prevailing, truth prevails. And this prophetic warning from David Wilkerson in 1973 about the churches, a super church that would stand together and embrace and endorse and celebrate homosexuality. You know, many liberal churches together now, the different churches of Christ, but the liberal churches of Christ and many Episcopalian denominations and Lutheran denominations and now Presbyterians of USA. This is a kind of super church as these liberal denominations come together with the rejection of the Word of God. Listen to me. I don't care how nice the person is who is a gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender. They could speak in tongues till the cows come home. They could pray for the sick and see miracles if they are practicing sin, if they are living a homosexual lifestyle according to the Word of God, which cannot be changed or tampered with no matter what people try to do with it. They are in sin. They are going against God's will, and they could be some of those to whom Jesus says on that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, on that day, I'll say I never knew you. Why? Because you didn't do the Father's will. You could say we performed this miracle, we did this, we did that. The Word of God is the thing that these liberal denominations are rejecting. The Word of God with perverted interpretations and saying, well, now we read it differently, we understand it differently. That's what has been rejected, friends, the witness of Scripture. And that's why there's so much moral confusion in the society, because you have churches endorsing sexual immorality. You have churches endorsing sexual perversity. You have churches endorsing departure from the Word of God. David Wilkerson prophesied it at a time when this was completely crazy and completely unlikely. If you missed the clip, we played it at the beginning of the hour. You can hear it. Go into our website, askdrbrown.org. Click on Line of Fire to catch the broadcast later in the day. Or just search for The Vision. I think it's part two online. The Vision, if you get it sequentially, about 2-something minutes into it. And maybe I'll play the clip later in the broadcast as well. But here's just some reminders, friends, some reminders of what's happening in front of our eyes. This is not society getting more enlightened and closer to Jesus. This is not churches and denominations getting more enlightened and closer to Jesus. That's not what's happening. This is part of apostasy from the Word of God. This is part of departure from Jesus being the way, the truth, and the life. This is some of the departure from biblical holiness in general. This opens the door to embracing all kinds of other relations. We see it every day. Look, I've got literature from mainstream gay leaders. I mean, in the respected gay churches, talking about how they have to embrace it. They have to embrace the sadomasochist couple, and they have to embrace the polyamorous couple because they all love Jesus and they have multiple loving partners and so on. Friends, that's the level of the deception. And you know, you get people saying, I'm an advocate for gay Christians and so on. It's just part of the deception. And how can we separate truth from error? The Word of God. Word of God. That is the infallible, immovable source. That is the one thing that will never change. But just back to this issue of threat to religious liberties. And let me say it again. If we don't speak now, we're going to have to apologize to our kids and our grandkids. It was on our watch that these things happened. It was on our watch that different denominations embraced these things. It was on our watch that our society has gone in this direction, that our schools have gone in this direction, that our heterosexual families have so largely fallen apart in so many circles. This article, I quote, "In a Queer Thing Happened to America," the chapter Big Brother is Watching, and he really is gay. This was April 9th, 2009, The Washington Post, which is anything but a conservative publication. Quote, "Faith organizations and individuals who view homosexuality as sinful and refuse to provide services to gay people are losing a growing number of legal battles that they say are costing them their religious freedom." And then correspondent Jacqueline Salmon cites these examples. This is Washington Post 2009. A Christian photographer was forced by the New Mexico Civil Rights Commission to pay $6,637 in attorney's costs after she refused to photograph a gay couple's commitment ceremony. A psychologist in Georgia was fired after she declined for religious reasons to counsel a lesbian about her relationship. Christian fertility doctors in California who refused to artificially inseminate a lesbian parent were barred by the state Supreme Court from invoking their religious beliefs and refusing treatment. A Christian student group was not recognized as a University of California law school because it denies membership to anyone practicing sex outside of traditional marriage. And as I wrote in The Queer Thing Happened to America, so much for freedom of conscience. What's happened is very simple. The church has lost its voice. The church has lost its moral courage. The church has gotten compromised with the world. And because we've been ashamed, different leaders have fallen, and it's embarrassed us, and we say, how can we speak morally to the society when our own leaders have messed up? Maybe we see problems and issues in our own lives. We say, who am I to point a finger? Maybe we just want to be nice. We want to be accepting. What has happened, friends, is that we have lost our courage. We have lost our voice. We have fallen into compromise. And I believe that so many of you listening to me say, I know something's wrong, and I want to be part of bring about change. I want to be an agent of change. I want to be one who brings life. I want to be one who brings truth. I don't mind if I have to go against the grain. I don't mind if I have to swim against the tide. You know, Mahatma Gandhi said a reformer is going to have to swim against the tide, go against the grain, even if it costs him his life. It's something that's understood. We don't have a death wish like Muslim terrorists do. We love life. The Bible talks about loving life. But we don't love our own lives, meaning I don't own my life. I don't make the decisions about should I be on radio or not? Should I raise my voice about this or not? Should I write this book or not? I seek to do the Lord's will. It doesn't mean everything I do is infallible, but I'm his servant. Why? Because I'm in, quote, full-time ministry? No, because I'm a believer. You're his servant. If you're his son or his daughter, so relationally, your children, your family, right? But vocationally, we're servants. We have a role to play in the society, and part of that role is being salt and light. Part of that role is being a moral conscience. Part of that role is speaking truth to power, speaking truth to corruption, speaking truth to immorality, speaking truth to error. We do it with love. We do it with gentleness. We do it with grace. We do it full of the Spirit of God. But we don't consider, how will this affect me? If I stay, you know, if I take this stand, I'm going to lose listeners. Well, if I do what's right now, I'll lose supporters. You know, if I stand for truth, people will leave my church. You know, if I address this issue, it won't be as popular as this issue. Friends, we're not called to be popular. We're called to be disciples. We're not called to be popular. We're called to be obedient. We're not called to be popular. We're called to be like Jesus. And there's some who worship him and some who hate him. And they're going to be those who love us and they're going to be those who hate us. Who's willing to take a stand? I mean, would you raise your hand? If you know, stir up something in your heart. Speak. I know you're out there. I know we're in this together. Together we can make a difference. So what do? We say, Lord, let the awakening begin with me. Here I am. Send me. Use me. I've got a whole lot more to say. I'm going to take your calls on the other side of the break. Stay with us.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
To all of my dear friends listening in New York, are you ready for what's coming? Are you ready for what's coming in New York? The major push to legalize same-sex marriage, to have the union of two men or two women recognized as marriage in New York, with major support you're going to get from mayors, governor, and religious leaders and others, and you're going to be told you're a bigot, you're intolerant, unless you back this, unless you accept this, you're not Christian, you're a Neanderthal, you're going back to the age of segregation and slavery and oppression of women. How dare you? Are you ready? Because this battle is gaining ground and raising its voice loudly in New York. And you know who's going to make the biggest difference? It's going to be believers. It's going to be followers of Jesus. In fact, it will be passed and it will become legal unless believers stand up and do what's right. And if believers stand up and do what's right and call out to the Lord and get involved, it won't pass. And you can be a beacon of righteousness and hope for your generation and the next. 866-34-TRUTH. We speak now or forever hold our peace. 866-348-7884, online, askdrbrown.org. Hey, before we go to the phones, do you believe in what we're doing here on The Line of Fire? Would you like to help us reach more and more people through this radio outreach, as well as raise up, send out missionaries to the ends of the earth and reach the lost sheep of the house of Israel? Do you believe in the voice that we are raising? Become a torchbearer. 800-278-9978. Number is 1-800-278-9978. Give us a call right now. We've got a team ready to take your call. Become a torchbearer. Become a monthly supporter. And we've just added another class online, Principles of Holiness. All of our torchbearers get to take all of my online classes for free. Jewish Roots, Holiness, Revival. We just added the most recent one on holiness. Become a torchbearer. Hold our hands up with monthly support. Man, it'd make a massive difference. 1-800-278-9978. To the phones, Dave in, is it Hoskett, Massachusetts? Thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Now it's Hooksett, New Hampshire, but that's okay.
Hooksett, all right, hang on. To my dear call screener, how did you confuse New Hampshire with Massachusetts? I know they're both New England, but sir, there is a difference, Dave, is there not, between New Hampshire and Massachusetts?
So, unfortunately, a number of differences.
All right, but go for it, sir, please.
Okay, yeah, we're the home of who's been now lovingly called Vicky Jean, a.k.a. Eugene Robinson, the gay bishop for the Episcopal Church. He's on the front line, has been on the front line for a while. Our state is really on the front line. We had a liberal Democrat majority until this past election that made gay marriage legal here in this state. Our governor promised never to approve it, but did anyway. You know, it's so important what you're doing and what we all need to do. We're not going to be popular. Neither was Jesus. And we were told that we would suffer persecution. And it comes down to the original lie. And that was, did God not say, isn't that what Satan said to her? Did God not say that you could eat from all these trees? And then her trying to overcompensate, which is what's going on right now with Christians, said, oh, we can't even touch that tree. God did not say that. So now what we've done is we've allowed people to, quote-unquote, interpret Scripture, whereas it's an eighth-grade reading level, that it says what it says. And there's no ambiguity within the Bible. In fact, at our state house, I was there. I'm one of those people that does go and testify. And I had such a horrible headache because I had to wait through it all with all these pink shirts, because we're discussing repealing that now. Oh, however, it's been put on the back burner by cowardice in our House of Representatives. But the thing is that we had all of these preachers, quote-unquote, and pastors, quote-unquote, standing up. And I even had one had the audacity to compare the book of Ruth to lesbian activity.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I missed my point because there were so many bullet points I had to state, was that the book of Ruth ends with her marrying a man.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It is so twisted that it reeks of satanic influence. And people love the lie because it makes their sin go away. Whereas it's Christ that takes the sin away. We can't make our sin go away. We can't earn our way. And loving the sinner is one thing, but calling his sin not a sin is another.
Yeah, in fact, Dave,
now putting words in God's mouth.
Yeah, the question we have to ask ourselves is, if we don't tell the truth, do we really love the person? And it's one thing to be mean-spirited, angry. It's another thing to lovingly call sin what it is, and to call brokenness what it is, and to call lostness what it is, and to call people to repentance and to offer them salvation and transformation and healing. You know, you mentioned Eugene Robinson, who was married with family, left his wife, now has lived with his partner X number of years, and was ordained by the Episcopalian Church as its first practicing homosexual bishop. People may not have followed what you said about the Vicky part. His name, if you see it, it's V, Eugene Robinson. His parents were expecting a girl, wanted a girl, and named him, even though he was a boy, named him Vicky. Vicky Eugene Robinson. Now, they've come to embrace him now as a homosexual, but you wonder, is there anything to that? Anything to the parents' desires? Anything to the upbringing that messed with him in any way? And now, of course, he becomes a leader worldwide, because he's the first openly ordained homosexual bishop in the Episcopalian Church. He may have a lot of nice qualities, but he is living in open sin and misleading others to their own destruction. And of course, it's caused massive division in the Episcopalian Anglican churches across the nation. Hey, Dave, bless you for what you do. Don't be weary in well-doing. There is a reward. This, to me, is not a political issue primarily. This is a moral issue. At the pastor's luncheon today, a black pastor who is a radical man, who goes for it, who believes in standing up and doing what's right, he asked a question. He said, look, the tares are going to be the tares. You've got the wheat and the tares. The tares are going to be the tares. There's nothing we can do about that. So isn't it just best that we concentrate building the body up, strengthening the body, so that we can do what God's called us to do and don't try to change the world? And I said, sir, if we had that mentality 150 years ago, you'd still be a slave today, and white men would still be committing their atrocities. The fact is, it was Christians who got involved and said, this has to change, this is wrong, this is destroying lives. The same way, anything outside of what God ordained, be it same-sex marriage, be it adultery, be it fornication, be it pornography, be it any of 100 or 1,000 things, if it's outside of what God ordained, it's destroying lives. And we as God's people are called to bring life. Therefore, we stand up for what is right. Friends, stand with us. Become a torchbearer. Hold our hands up as we make a difference. Go to our website, askdrbrown.org. Right on the homepage, you can click on that. Or give us a call right now at 1-800-278-9978. We sow into you every month and bless you in many ways every month as a torchbearer. Stand with us. Hold our hands up as we stand for righteousness. Go against the grain in Jesus' name. 1-800-278-9978. Join us as a torchbearer. Let me say it again. Together, we are making a difference.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
It is great to be with you today on The Line of Fire as we stand for what is right, speak up for what is right. It was Dr. Martin Luther King who said, a man dies when he refuses to stand up for that which is right. A man dies when he refuses to stand up for justice. A man dies when he refuses to stand up for that which is true. That, to me, in many ways, explains what Jesus was saying when he said, if you save your life, you lose it. If you lose your life for my sake and the gospel, you'll find it. Michael Brown, thank you for joining us today on The Line of Fire. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Online, askdrbrown.org. Hey, Joey, I want to play that clip from David Wilkerson again before we go back to the phones. And I'm broadcasting live from Raleigh, North Carolina today. One of the local broadcasters here in Raleigh just handed me something amazing that ties in with everything we're saying. But let's listen to what David Wilkerson prophesied. Pastor Dave, who is now in the presence of the Lord, who has gone on to his reward. Pastor Dave prophesied this as part of the vision back in 1973.
Fourthly, I see homosexuals and lesbians. Welcome to the Super Church Union. I see this Super World Church in the guise of understanding, accepting homosexuals and lesbians into its fellowship. Homosexual and lesbian love will be vindicated by the leadership of this church union. Homosexuals will not only be welcomed, but they'll be encouraged to continue in their practices. Homosexual and lesbian ministers will not only be ordained and given places of authority, they'll be heralded as a new breed of pioneer evangelists introducing new concepts of love and evangelism. I see in nearly every major city in the United States and around the world, homosexual churches catering exclusively to the spiritual needs of their own kind with full recognition from organized religion. Their Sunday school and church literature distributed to their children will suggest to teenagers that homosexuality is a normal and acceptable form of Christian practice.
All right, friends, that was prophesied in 1973 when it seemed completely outrageous, off the wall, no way, crazy. Churches embracing it as a super church? Look, there is a super church union in that sense of various liberal denominations, one after another, denying the truth of Scripture. Look at what else they deny. Look at what are the fundamentals they deny. Look at the other things that they no longer hold to that are part of the Word. They are unified together in denial of the truth. And I tell you what, go online when you have a chance and type in Jesus.org, Jesus.org on your browser. And what will you find? You'll find a fine Christian website with lots of wonderful material, all right, Jesus.org. Then type in Jesus.com, Jesus.com. You know what you'll get? You will immediately be brought to MCCChurch.org, Metropolitan Community Churches, gay churches that celebrate homosexuality and say you can be practicing gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, follower of Jesus, and they celebrate it. And you'll have others that say we are Spirit-filled, and others we believe in the gifts of the Spirit, and others we preach holiness. I'm talking about perversion and deception at an extraordinarily high level. And then anytime people base reality on experience rather than the Word and then go back and change the Word, it is the guaranteed path of error, and that is what is happening in front of our eyes. And hear me now. Hear me. This is why this concerns you. If you're a follower of Jesus, even if you don't want to be politically active, even if you don't want to take a stand on divisive issues and same-sex marriage and all these things, the opposition's coming your way anyhow. Oh, I've got something I'm going to share with you. It was just handed to me by one of the local broadcasters here in Raleigh. On the other side of the break, I'll get you your calls. But I'm going to share something with you that just reminds you, like it or not, this is coming your way. Like it or not, this is coming to a business near you, to a court near you, to a school near you, to a church near you, to a voting booth near you. And we either speak up or we apologize to our kids, to our grandkids. I'll say it again and again and again. I believe you want to do what's right, regardless of cost or consequence. Oh, a whole lot more to come.
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, we have something unusual at the moment, which is some lines open if you'd like to get through. We had a few callers had to drop out, so we actually have some lines open for some communication. A lot of times it's very hard to get through to us, but if you want to share your heart, I know this is not the day where I'm asking a survey or question or give me your response to this, but if you want to share your heart, we will get to some calls. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Our Facebook community, which is a great place to stay in touch with us and get a few posts, updates through the day, articles, references, edifying stuff. That's Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook. Okay, let me give you a little context here, all right? Before 1973, this is what homosexual men and women had to deal with. Society looked at them as deviant and sinful. And some of you listening, maybe you identify as gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, and you say, yeah, I was around then, and I can remember those days, and things have really changed for the better, and it was horrible back then. It's not ideal now, but it's a lot better. That's what you may be saying. I understand your perspective. So this was the problem. The psychiatric profession said that homosexuality is a disorder. It's like a mental disorder, emotional disorder, like schizophrenia is a disorder. And the church, the religious world, said it's sin. Now, of course, religious Jews would say that, religious Muslims, but the most dominant voice in America would be the church because of numbers and our history. So the church said it's sin. The psychiatric profession said it's a sickness. Well, what happened was in 1973, and it was under a good amount of political pressure as well, and gay activist pressure, the American Psychiatric Association removed homosexuality from its Diagnostic and Statistical Manual. They removed it, saying that it is not a sickness, it is not a disorder. Why? Because people are at home with their orientation, and it doesn't adversely affect their lives, therefore it's not a disorder. Now, in my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, I have a whole chapter on the stifling of scientific evidence, where I go through that history, and I also discuss the implications of this decision. That was 1973. All right. So since then, this has been bandied about. The psychiatric profession and the American Psychological Association, various other groups, one after another, all fell in line and said, yes, we recognize that this is not a mental disorder. This is not an emotional disorder. It's not a sickness. So homosexual men and women have said, okay, society recognizes that. The psychiatric profession recognizes that. There's only one last obstacle. There's only one last obstacle to our full acceptance, and that last obstacle is the church. That last obstacle is followers of Jesus, because they say that homosexual practice, as distinguished from having a desire that you don't act on, that homosexual practice is sin. So that must be overcome. So as you see churches, denominations changing, it has nothing to do with love of Jesus and love for the truth. It is a deception. It has to do with throwing out the testimony of God's word. It has to do with throwing out the foundational order that God established for the human race, which is male and female. What must be overcome now is church resistance, church opposition. And that's why ultimately gay activism will be the principal threat to religious freedoms in America. Again, A Queer Thing Happened to America. If you don't have the book, get it. Chapter 14, Big Brother is Watching and He Really Is Gay, is worth the price of the book alone. It will be massively eye-opening for you. So there's an organization, Faith in America, their website, faithinamerica.org, and they claim they're religious people, they're church-going people, they're spiritual people, and they oppose anti-gay bigotry, and they recognize that homosexual practice is no different than heterosexual practice. It's all fine in God's sight. And I'm looking at a printout that was just handed to me by Steve Noble, who hosts a local broadcast here in Raleigh, North Carolina. Our goal is to end the harm, the immense harm caused to LGBT youth and others by religion-based bigotry must end, and it must no longer be allowed to exist as the number one barrier to full equality. The anti-gay religious establishment and its political cohorts can no longer use it with impunity. History serves as its moral arbiter, and it has been judged as immoral and a grave social injustice. And of course, it's got all the pictures, just as I talked about earlier. The church was on the wrong side of slavery. The church was on the wrong side of segregation. The church was on the wrong side of oppression of women, and now it's on the wrong side of gay and lesbian issues. And because there is a drive now to have a marriage amendment passed in North Carolina that would recognize marriage as the union of a man and woman only, Faith in America has these billboards they want to launch. Is the Republican Party the party of religion-based bigotry? Do North Carolina lawmakers embrace religion-based bigotry? Religion-based bigotry is shameful. That's how they're going to hit religion-based bigotry. What we have to do is completely cast off, hear me, cast off what the world is saying, cast off the charges of bigotry, recognize that is just darkness speaking, and stand up and do what is right, regardless of cost or consequence. That's what followers of Jesus do. At the same time, praying for a massive harvest of men and women redeemed, gloriously redeemed and changed by the power of the gospel out from the homosexual community. Come on, it's time to come out. It's time to come out. Oh, no, no, not come out as gay. Come out from being gay into the liberty of Jesus. 866-34-TRUTH. Let me go to Maurice in Somerset, New Jersey. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Jesus Christ, bless you, my brother. Thank you for standing for righteousness and realizing that these men are teaching heresy. Many are called, but few are chosen. They weren't chosen by God. Our Father changes not. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's time for the body of Christ to stand up for righteousness. Homosexuality is sin. It's against the Word of God, and we must stand against it. I thank God for your faithfulness and commitment, and the body of Christ must wake up and realize. Jesus, 2 Timothy 3:15 talks about the end times, and you're given a word of correction, 2 Timothy 3:16. That's inspired by the Holy Spirit. You're not judging. You're giving a word of correction, rebuking, and that's what we're supposed to do. Enough of this. The body of Christ needs to stand up against this antichrist spirit. God is not about religion. He's about relationship with the only true and living God, the great I Am, the most holy one of Israel, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit.
Thank All right. You, hey, Maurice, thank you for weighing in. I appreciate that. Friends, don't let the world tell you you can't do what's right without being hateful. Don't let the world tell you, you can't go against the grain of society without being hateful. Come on, friends. That is a lie. That is deception. That is the enemy trying to handicap you. What's the thing? You take somebody's knees out from them to knock you down so that you can't move forward. Listen, of course we're going to get mocked. Of course people are going to call us hateful, bigoted. Of course they are. Jesus said, rejoice when it's for the gospel. If someone points out to me that I was arrogant, they point out to me that I was nasty, they point out to me that I was mean-spirited, and it's true, I will get on my face and repent and ask them to forgive me, and if I did it publicly, I'll do it before the whole world and ask forgiveness. But I know if I stand for what's right, I'm going to get hated. I know if I stand for what's right, people are going to attack me, and if that happens for the gospel, I rejoice because it is for following Jesus. Nancy in Brentwood. Hey, I'm just having a slight problem with, all right, here we go. Nancy in Brentwood, Long Island, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, how are you? Thank you so much for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I truly believe the Bible, I believe it in its entirety. I love God. I know homosexuality is a sin. My frustration comes with, you know, why this asphyxiation with homosexuality when there's so many other sins? I mean, having sex out of marriage is sin. And we have our churches filled with that. People who are, you know, abusing alcohol and drugs, and people who are, you know, lying and committing adultery. All those things are equally evil. As a Christian community, We want to, you know, do the right thing, and we are being persecuted. I know personally I'm persecuted for what I believe in.
But hang on, Nancy, let me just jump in. You raise a great question, and I'm just looking at the clock. I want to make sure I get to answer before the break. And maybe we can talk after the break. So I apologize for interrupting, but let me explain this. Do you have adultery pride parades in New York City? No. Do you have divorce pride parades in New York City? No. Do you have our children in kindergarten being taught that adultery is good? No. So the difference is, we're not just talking about homosexual practice, we're talking about gay activism. We have gay activism knocking at our door every single day. There's not a day that goes by in the news where there's not a major story, a national story, a local story. in our schools. Just yesterday, I talked about it on the air. The man that was heading up the Olympic mission that was going to be leading the U.S. Olympic team in our next Olympics had to resign. Why? Because he gave a contribution in California supporting Prop 8 that said marriage is the union of a man and a woman. And what happened was because he gave a contribution supporting marriage, there was so much controversy, he had to step down and resign as the head of the U.S. Olympic team, a former gold medal winner. So we are being censored. Our religious rights are being taken away. Our religious freedoms are being taken away. This is being pushed in every level of society. I care about the people, and I wholeheartedly agree with you. We got a lot of other sins to deal with. I am resisting the agenda. That's the difference. So, Nancy, thank you. Great question. I appreciate you raising it.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Yeah, look, this issue is important to me because God laid it on my heart. January of 2005, he spoke to me, reach out and resist. Reach out to the people with compassion, meaning those who identify as gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender. You may be hearing me and saying, man, you're just pushing me away. You're just nasty. You're just mean-spirited. I hope you don't hear that just because I differ with you. I hope you don't say that just because you've been hurt by others. I embrace your full humanity. I embrace you as created in the image of God just as I am. I embrace you and say to you that Jesus died for your sins, hung on the cross and died for your sins exactly the same as he died for my sins. But Jesus does not affirm us in our sin, does he? When Jesus hung out with the tax collectors and the prostitutes, he reached out to the marginally disenfranchised. He reached out to the ones who were on the outside. When he reached out to them, can I ask you a question? Did he teach the prostitutes how to make more money as prostitutes? Did he teach the tax collectors how to extort more money as tax collectors? No, God forbid. What he did was he reached out to them and changed them. He did not practice affirmational inclusion. He did not affirm people in their sin. Rather, he transformed them. That's the good news. That's the love of God. My brothers and sisters, my friends who are believers in Jesus, we are the only answer in Jesus to our society's problems. We are the only ones who have a real solution. It is bigger than economic. It is bigger than political. It is bigger than military. It is spiritual. And the ultimate answer to gay activism is the power of the gospel. The ultimate answer to gay activism is Jesus radically changing lives and you and I standing up for what's right. Look, for those that want to get involved, you say, all right, count me in. Do you have the book yet, A Queer Thing Happened to America? If not, get that because it will so stir your heart and give you tons and tons of information. That's why I worked on it for 6 years. But if you already have the book, go to aqueerthing.com. aqueerthing.com. Go to the book website, aqueerthing.com, and click on Get Involved. And you'll find pages and pages of practical things you can do and further links and suggestions, be it in the schools, be it in the political realm, be it helping people coming out of homosexuality. We can all get involved. We can all make a difference. Don't let anybody tell you it's too late. It's not too late. Don't let anybody tell you the curtains come down. No, Jesus is Lord. Light will always overcome darkness. I don't know what's coming in the next immediate years. I know this, though. If the darkness gets crazier, the light can shine all the more brightly. 866-34-TRUTH. John in Houston, Texas, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'm waiting for you.
Yeah, I was just really wanting to get across. I mean, we back idly and submit as our country is completely turning its back on God and being allowed to. We as Christians and believers are not standing up near as bold as the gays and homosexuals are for their right to live that kind of life. We don't have near the conviction and strength. We just sit back and allow this to be pushed on us and to be taken away from us, and not bring and guide others as Jesus commanded. It's disheartening.
Yeah, you know, John, it's very true. And let's think about something. And I really appreciated the call from Nancy and Brentwood, Long Island, before our last break. You know, there are many other sins. There are many other issues. Well, I focused on that for decades in terms of heterosexual issues, in terms of breakdown of marriage, in terms of no-fault divorce, in terms of sexual immorality and pornography, and then all the other things, the drug abuse and the alcohol and a thousand other issues in our society, and abortion and other things. The difference with gay activism is it's knocking at our door. It's coming our way. It's broadcasting to us. It's seeking to change our educational system, our political system, and it's calling for endorsement. It's calling for endorsement. It's telling us you must celebrate who I am. It's not enough to be tolerant and accepting. You must celebrate homosexuality. You must endorse it. You must believe in it. You must agree with it. You must support same-sex marriage, and on and on and on. Or you are a hypocritical bigot. That's what we are being told. That is part of the profound difference. But I want you to think of this. Someone, a gay activist, fighting for what? Look, this is their life. They feel this is the very, accept me as a human being. From their viewpoint, accept me for who I am. And if they're religious, accept me for who God made me to be. This is who they are. This is not something they do here and there. In other words, they don't go to a gay meeting once a week and say, wasn't that a great meeting? No, they're gay. In other words, that's how they identify. When they wake up in the morning, they're same-sex attracted, or that's what their life is, just like someone else is a heterosexual. They'd say, I am a homosexual. This is who they are 24/7. We think going to a church service once a week and praying a nice prayer is going to change the world. No, we have to live this out. John, you're absolutely right. And again, I'm being obedient to something God laid on my heart, reach out and resist. That's why I spent 6 years praying, agonizing, writing, researching to produce A Queer Thing Happened to America. And I'm thrilled as the book is getting out. It's having an awakening effect on people. And on Amazon.com, it is now 65 plus days in the top 100 gay and lesbian titles on Amazon. And numerous times it's been number one gay and lesbian nonfiction on Amazon. So the book is getting out to the world, and not just to the church. I believe God will use it to help bring an awakening of conscience. But please hear me, brothers and sisters. We can't sit back on this. We can't just keep waiting. Every day, further inroads are being made. Every day, it's going further. Now it's you've got to accept transgenderism. You've got to celebrate transgenderism. And a man who identifies as a woman should have every right to use the women's bathroom, and on and on and on. And if you don't agree with that, you're bigoted and hateful. I do interviews on secular stations. I hear these very charges coming against me. I did an interview last week with a guy who called himself the Gay Gandhi. Very nice guy. If we were there in the same city, we'd have lunch together and talk and get to know each other. But he felt very clearly that if based on my religious beliefs, I said homosexual practice was sin, then I was discriminating against him, and it was a form of bigotry. He told me that very nicely. That's what he believes. Friends, the battle lines have been drawn. Let's overcome hatred with love. Let's overcome lies with truth. Let's overcome the force of the political realm and the financial realm and all this coming against us. Let's overcome it in the life and power of the Spirit. Can I make an appeal to you? We need torchbearers in every city where we're on the air. We need 50 new torchbearers sitting with us on a monthly basis in every new city where we're on the air. Not a dime of this goes into my pocket or our staff. Not a dime. Every dime will go onto the air to help us reach more people and to help us stand for truth. Would you become a monthly torchbearer or even stand with us with a one-time gift? Here's the number to call, 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. Become a torchbearer. Stand with us. Together, we can make a difference. 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line for today, do not be weary in well-doing, for in due time, we will reap a harvest if we do not faint. That's what the Word says. Jesus taught us to pray always and not to cave in. Justice will be done. The kingdom of God will be advanced. Fear not. Don't grow weary. The battle is the Lord's. Do you know that David Wilkerson prophesied about this very thing in 1973?
Are you ready to be shocked? Stay tuned.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Just yesterday, I was sent a link to a website, some strong believers that have come out of homosexuality that are monitoring what's happening in various gay activist circles, and they had some positive comments about my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America. And in the article, I saw links to other articles there, and there was one about David Wilkerson. And as you know, most of you know, Pastor Dave went to be with the Lord in a tragic car accident shortly before he would have turned 80. His memorial service in New York City is this Saturday. But it was with reference to his famous book and message, The Vision, going back to 1973. So I just saved a couple of years when this came out. And he prophesied some things that they're crazy, that outlandish, just out so far out there. How could they possibly be? And many of the things prophesied have come to pass to the point you hardly even think twice about them. I'm about to play a clip for you and share some things as, by God's grace, I serve today as a voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution, saying, let the awakening begin with us. Let the awakening begin with you and me. Here's the number to call to get on the program, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Online, ask drbrown.org. Click on The Line of Fire for today's discussion. Okay, 1973, Pastor David Wilkerson prophesied these words. Now remember, this is not 2003, this is not 1993, it's not 1983, but 1973, before many of you listening were born. But those who were old enough to be conscious thinking human beings at that time, you have to remember how utterly outlandish this sounded. This is what he said.
Fourthly, I see homosexuals and lesbians. Welcome to the super church union. I see this super world church in the guise of understanding, accepting homosexuals and lesbians into its fellowship. Homosexual and lesbian love will be vindicated by the leadership of this church union. Homosexuals will not only be welcomed, but they'll be encouraged to continue in their practices. Lesbian ministers will not only be ordained and given places of authority, they'll be heralded as a new breed of pioneer evangelists introducing new concepts of love and evangelism. I see in nearly every major city in the United States and around the world, homosexual churches catering exclusively to the spiritual needs of their own kind with full recognition from organized religion. Their Sunday school and church literature distributed to their children will suggest to teenagers that homosexuality is a normal and acceptable form of Christian practice.
I mean, it's a remarkable word. Just yesterday, the PCUSA, Presbyterian Church of the United States, openly voted and said, okay, we will now ordain practicing homosexual men and women, we will ordain them into ministry. They can become clergy. Lutheran denominations have already done that. The Episcopalian Church has already done that. Other denominations have done it. There may be more to the super church thing that David Wilkerson was speaking about, but for sure, this is part of it. This union, this spiritual union of liberal churches that reject the authority of the Word of God in so many other areas, and most of them are also, by the way, pro-abortion. Does that tell you anything? They are pro-abortion, most all of these churches and groups that have this in common as well. That alone should tell you something's fundamentally wrong. But there's this rejection of foundations of the Word of God, rejection of foundational biblical truths, which is leading to this extraordinary error and deception. And can I tell you something? Like it or not, this is a battle we have to fight. Like it or not, this is coming our way. And like it or not, gay activism is the principal threat to religious freedom in America. It's all true.
Fire we want, for fire we please. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
If you just tuned in now, you would have missed a clip I played from Pastor David Wilkerson in 1973, in which he prophesied that churches, a super church union, would recognize, endorse, celebrate homosexual practice, would teach young people in their churches that it's perfectly fine. This back in 1973, would not only do that, but would also there would be whole churches that would just be catering to homosexuality. In other words, gay and lesbian churches. And of course, that's just all around us today. Type in Jesus.com online. Jesus.org is great. It's a wonderful Christian website. Type in Jesus.com. It'll take you to MCC, Metropolitan Community Churches, which are gay churches. Now here's the thing that's really important. Stay with me, okay? 866-34-TRUTH. 866-348-7884. It's Wednesday. Wednesday we focus on moral cultural issues. Tomorrow, Jewish, Israel-related issues. Friday, you've got questions. We've got answers. Monday, whichever way the wind blows on the show, that's the way we'll go after the weekend. Tuesday, we focus on Bible theology. So we're hitting things from different angles. This is all part of moral, cultural, spiritual revolution, beginning with God's people, grounded in the Word, transformed. We then go out by God's grace and change the world around us through the gospel. But I want you to consider something. We have the same Bible, correct? The same Bible today that we had 100 years ago, 500, 1,000. We have some improved understanding of the Hebrew and the Greek through archaeological discoveries and linguistic discoveries. We have even better manuscript evidence, more ancient manuscripts that we can look at. So we have even improved, enhanced understanding of the Bible and improved, enhanced, accurate texts, but we have the same Bible, right? Now, the Bible was misused to justify slavery. Because there's not a single verse in the Bible that you could use to justify going over to Africa, kidnapping people, or people who've already been kidnapped, sold into slavery by other Africans, and then taking them against their will on a boat that's going to kill maybe half of them along the way, and then enslaving them for life in America. There's not a syllable in the Bible that could justify that. Possibly. And the Bible celebrates liberation from slavery, and Jesus comes to bring liberation to the captives, which is why it was Christians who led the abolition of slavery movement, Christians who overthrew slavery. Let's take it further. Segregation. There's not a verse in the Bible to support segregation. Where is the civil rights movement birthed? Martin Luther King and others. It was birthed out of churches. There's nothing in the Bible to support the suppression of women as second-class citizens. You have women like Deborah, great leaders in the Bible. You have Proverbs 31 celebrating the role of women. You have different places for men and women within the body and in society. We each can do different things certain ways. But come on, the ones that saw Jesus rise and were sent to tell the apostles, it was women, okay? Whereas homosexual practice is universally spoken against in Scripture. There's not a single positive word about it anywhere in the Bible. And we have the only pattern God established, which is male-female relationships for life in Scripture, in the bonds of marriage. That's where sexuality is expressed. That's the only thing that God established. So why do I say all that? I say all that to say that there's no new discovery that's been made. My field of academic scholarship is Bible, okay? There is no new discovery that has been made that's changed what the Bible said. There's no new linguistic evidence, no new archaeological evidence, no new textual evidence. It's just people are now twisting the Bible to fit their lifestyles, twisting the Bible to fit their sexual orientation, twisting the Bible to say, I was made this way, this is who I am, therefore God somehow has to accept me. That's what we're dealing with. The Bible was misused to support slavery, segregation, the oppression of women. The Bible is properly used to support marriage as the union of a man and woman. The Bible is properly used to say that homosexual practice is contrary to God's order, contrary to God's will. The Bible is properly used to say to those practicing homosexuality, God has a better way for you. 866-34-TRUTH. I'll get back to this issue of religious liberties, why this is so important in a moment. 866-34-TRUTH. Vernon in Houston, Texas, thanks for calling the Line of Fire. Hello, Vernon. You still there? All right, looks like we lost Vernon. Let's go to Miguel in Salt Lake City. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hey, Dr. Brown, God bless you. How are you doing today?
I'm blessed, sir. Thank you.
That's great. I just wanted to say, I was just talking to one of my brothers in the Lord on the phone right before I tuned into you, and we were talking about this very issue. The problem that we have, too, is that where is this going to stop? Are we going to, our kids, let's suppose we have kids that are in school, they're taking gym class. Are they going to be have to be forced to use the same gym, the same locker room as someone who's homosexual? And are they going to segregate that, too? Are they going to have one for girls, one for guys, and one for homosexuals?
Well, no, here's what you will have, Miguel, and this already exists in some parts of America. In fact, it's school policy in San Francisco Unified School District. If a boy, obviously troubled, gender identity disorder would be the psychological description, but a troubled young boy is convinced he's a girl in a boy's body, if that's how he identifies consistently and exclusively at school, 8 years old, well, then he's allowed to use the girls' bathroom and the girls' locker room. There are already cases of little boys coming home from school crying because they had to change, they had to undress in the presence of someone of the opposite sex who claimed to be of the same sex. So this is what's out there. This is what's happening. Look, if you just tuned in, I'm not a gloom and doom kind of guy. If you don't know me, hang out with me. All right, well, you may not have the opportunity. Ask people that know me. I am always full of faith, full of confidence. Yeah, I go through my tough times. I go through my trials. I can have a day where I'm a little bit battered down. In fact, a couple of days ago, man, it was like oppression was raining on my head. I was hit with I don't know what. But by the end of the night, praise the Lord, victory in Jesus. I kind of bounce from expectation to expectation to victory in terms of confidence in the Lord. I am not this gloom and doom, skies falling. I am a realist. I'm telling you the truth. Maybe you've heard it before. Oh, and I'm holding stuff in my hand that was just handed to me by Steve Noble, who hosts a local broadcast here in Raleigh, North Carolina, from whence I am broadcasting today. But listen, I spoke to, I don't know, about 100 pastors, leaders, businessmen today in Raleigh at a special luncheon. Anyone in the greater Raleigh area, join us tonight for a special awakening service at Raleigh First Assembly, 7 o'clock tonight. Come join us. We should have a very, very special time tonight in the Lord. I played a clip from David Wilkerson earlier in the show where he prophesied about homosexuality being celebrated by churches and embraced by churches, and this is normal and natural and so on. I talked to these pastors and leaders. I said, I'm not going to focus on this today, but I held up the 850-page Queer Bible Commentary. I held up other books, Queer God, Queering Christ, Religion is a Queer Thing. In my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, I have a whole chapter that will, you have to read it. I mean, you have to. You have to read it because you have to know what's out there. But it is an agonizingly painful chapter where you see how the Bible has been misinterpreted, reinterpreted to justify homosexuality and homosexual practice. I mean, scary bad. I mean, painfully bad. I mean, so bad that when I finished writing it, Nancy, my beloved wife, is in another part of the house, and I just went into the room where she was, and I broke down crying. It was so painful. And these are things from many well-known, quote, gay Christian authors or gay Jewish authors, etc. What was prophesied has happened and is happening and will continue to happen. The awakening must begin with us because culture has lost its way. Culture has lost its moral balance. Why? Because the church has stepped out of its role. Because we have lost our moral balance. And that's the bad news. The good news is the answer begins with us. The answer for change begins with us because we have the gospel. We have the answer. 866-34-TRUTH. Jim in Milford, Connecticut, I appreciate you holding. I'm going to get to right after our next break. If you are a follower of Jesus, you are the enemy of, quote, gay equality. If you hold to what the scriptures say and recognize why God established marriage and why marriage is a foundation of society, is male-female union, even without the Bible, we understand that. If you hold to that, you are the enemy. And Faith in America, which is a gay organization, gay activist organization that claims to be Christian, it will be launching in North Carolina, beginning in Raleigh, an attack on the idea that marriage is the union of man and woman. And I'm looking at billboards that are going to go up. Religion-based bigotry is shameful yesterday, today, tomorrow. Is the Republican Party the party of religion-based bigotry? Do NC lawmakers embrace religion-based bigotry? You have been codified, branded as a bigot. Don't run from it. Don't run from it and retreat and get in the closet and say, oh, I don't want to offend anyone. I'll just be nice. No, stand up and say, I'm going to walk in love. I'm going to walk in truth. I'm going to walk in the spirit. I'm going to lift up the name of Jesus. No matter what you call me, no matter what you think of me, I'm going to come over. I'm going to overcome evil with good. I'm going to overcome your bigotry because you're being bigoted towards me. I'm going to overcome your bigotry with the truth of the gospel. It's the truth that sets us free. Back with a lot more, including your calls.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know that if you listen to Rush Limbaugh ever, he'll say he's having more fun than a human being should be allowed to have. Obviously, he enjoys what he's doing. He gets paid a lot of money to do it as well. But, man, I am blessed. I am blessed to be on the air serving you, serving as a voice of moral, cultural, spiritual revolution. And you know, the gospel is real serious to me. I love the Lord. I love the joy of the Lord. I love the blessings he brings in this life. But the gospel is really serious to me. I mean, these really are major issues. And Paul says, put aside any social issues, put aside anything else, just the message of Jesus. He said it's to some the smell of death, to some the smell of life. Who's worthy of this? These are weighty, weighty things the Lord's entrusted with us. Thank God we get to stand up for what's right. We get to be a voice of moral conscience. We get to be salt and light. We get to be ambassadors for Jesus. I read a quote the other day. It's true that we are pilgrims just passing through this world. It's also true that we are ambassadors. As ambassadors, we are representing the interests of our master here in this world and speaking on his behalf. Is that wonderful, amazing, weighty, or what? 866-34-TRUTH to join the discussion today online, AskDrBrown.org. Jim in Milford, Connecticut, thank you, sir, for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes, I wanted to make a comment as a political consultant. I did some research for a candidate that was running for the state legislature, and he was running against a homosexual chap. And the windup was, the information I came up was that, and this is very peculiar, I came up with the information that every homosexual, let me reword that, every serial killer was dabbling in homosexuality, either as a bisexualist or as a full-blown homosexual. That's what I came up with, and I thought perhaps your audience might be interested in that.
All right, so... You did not find that there were serial killers who were simply men killing women. I mean, you'll see this, a guy killing a series of prostitutes. It seems to be totally heterosexual from what I know in that case. You're saying that your data showed that there was experimentation with bisexuality?
More than experimentation. Every one of them, whether they were after women, whether they were after other men, children, whatever it was, every one of them, and they didn't hide it. The ones that were convicted and went off to get some notoriety, they books are written about some of them, and yes, that was part of their makeup.
So Jim, someone like Ted Bundy, his story became famous when he talked about how pornography, heterosexual pornography, opened the door for his sexual interests, and then he killed women.
Yep.
Did you find the same data about him?
Absolutely, yes. Yes, and he's spoken of that, too, to a writer by the name of Ann Rule. He's a crime writer, and he didn't hide that. He also dabbled in that sickness.
All right, so in your mind, all right, and now there's some callers that are going to run with this as gospel, and some callers ready to take off your head and mine for having you on the air. In your mind, are you saying that this is just because these people opened the door to sin, destruction, in so many ways that they just gave way to the flesh? Or do you see some actual connection between these sexual acts and murder?
Well, I couldn't be sure for every intricacy, but I do know, and this doesn't mean that every homosexual is by any means a serial killer or is bound to be, but the interesting part is just fact, evil fact, and that is every one of them, including the couple last year, two fellows in the rear of a car shooting at strangers, they were also involved. And that's what I did. I do the research.
Very interesting. Jim, is there anywhere that you know that this has been shared or any places that you would recommend people to go to research this further?
I don't know. I sort of did it the hard way. I just looked up the backgrounds of each and every one to see what might be used to put a candidate in a poor light. And I came up with that, and I turned it over to the candidate that was normal.
Got it. All right, Jim, thank you for calling in. I appreciate that. All right. Anyone that wants to challenge that, feel free to call in. Okay, anyone that wants to challenge that, feel free to call in. Anyone wants to do some further research on that, feel free to do further research on that. And understand that Jim was not saying that if you're homosexual, you're thereby a serial killer or going to be a serial killer, just to be clear. There's a whole lot that could be said and opens up 1,000 different questions. We'll just leave it for there and move on. Sean in Boulder, Colorado, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm blessed, thank you.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I was just saying, I just recently had been listening to your station. I hadn't heard, my name is Sean. I have come to Christ over the years. I was actually involved for years in the homosexual lifestyle. I was a cross-dresser, and since then I've come to know Christ. And the thing about it is, it's just sad that, you know, many of these men and women, what I've learned from talking to them as I became friends with them, what I always heard the same thing in so many words was that, you know, mom and dad wasn't there for them. You know, the men, the dads were either wimps or they were too tough on them, or the same with the women. The women were involved in promiscuous relationships. And, yeah, when you don't get that from home, you're going to go find it somewhere else. And the thing that's sad is that, you know, many of these, you know, of the homosexuals, and I don't hate them. I talk to them. I love them. I hope that I try to get as many as I can to try to come to Christ. But it's like they're just given to their sin. It's basically we're giving in to our lustfulness. We just want to say, well, it's okay. You know, and it's like the Bible specific what it says about what's sin. You know, whether it's, you know, thou shalt not steal, murder. Mm-hmm.
Clear. Homosexual practice is clearly spoken against. Hey Sean, how long were you involved in homosexuality and cross-dressing?
I was a cross-dresser. I didn't have sex, but I got into the cross-dressing. But, you know, I was in that environment, and I was in that for at least a good 8 years.
What was it that motivated you to cross-dress?
It started out with pornography, which your last caller, I was agreeing with him on some things. Pornography, and I've heard over the years, and I read some stuff on Ted Bundy too. Pornography was a motive. It gives you ideas. It just puts you in ideas where you shouldn't go to. You know, and many serial killers, even people who have been, some who have been executed, some who are still alive, they've been interviewed over the years, and many of them have said the pornography gave him ideas, you know, the slasher movies that were coming. Matter of fact, Ted Bundy said that on some of his interviews before he was executed. He said the slasher movies and stuff that were coming, it gave him ideas, you know.
So whatever acts we commit, we're responsible. It's our sin. Yeah. It's our act. But there are things that can feed into it. There are things that can open doors. Sean, thank God for his transforming mercy. We've got a break coming up. But real quick, when you were in that world, did you find a lot of happiness and wholeness or a lot of brokenness and lostness?
I just had such emptiness. Yeah, when I was doing it, when I was out doing my shows or whatever, I had fun. It was great. But after that, it was over. I had this emptiness.
And what about the people around you? Did you find a lot of brokenness among them?
Same thing. Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Basically, every one of them said the same thing. And like I said, it was just, you saw a lot of brokenness. The family, some families kicked them out. Others, they loved them, but they just, it was just that. You saw that emptiness. And they
Well, thank God for his mercy in your life. Yeah. Keep standing as a testimony, Sean. God bless you, man. We need more and more people.
Thank you for your program.
God bless you. Sorry. Thank you, sir.
God bless you, too.
All right. Boy, I'd love to talk to Sean for an hour and find out more about his own story and what the Lord did in his life. But whoever you are, Jesus died for you. There is a better way. You can be whole. You can be free in Jesus.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Today is one of those days, sound the alarm, wake up call. You want to hear something really interesting? Really interesting. I had a meeting in Raleigh, North Carolina today. Many of you listening are in the Raleigh area. Remember, tonight, 7 o'clock, it's, well, yikes, 3.5 hours, and I've got another interview to do. And then, okay, we had a luncheon, pastors, ministry leaders, business leaders in Raleigh, about a 2.5 hour drive, supposed to arrive a certain amount of time in advance. My alarm didn't go off. I set the alarm. I used my phone. No reason for Nancy to have been up to make sure I was up. And then I got a phone call from the guys I was supposed to meet asking where I was. And we got there right on time. Everything worked out just fine. The alarm didn't go off. That can be critical. There's some times the alarm doesn't go off. That's trouble. Well, the alarm is going off today on The Line of Fire. Michael Brown, thanks for being with us. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Online, askdrbrown.org. Okay, all of you who have my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, will know that there is a chapter in the book. Oh, painful, difficult chapter. Painful to read. Trust me, it was more painful to write. Chapter 10, Queer Theology, A Gay Lesbian Bible, and A Homoerotic Christ. Painful to write. I want you to hear this prophetic word from Pastor David Wilkerson, who's with the Lord now, died in a car accident shortly before his 80th birthday. His memorial service is this Saturday. I plan to attend in New York City. David Wilkerson prophesied this in 1973. And remember this. Do you remember in the 70s? You just said Stonewall Riots was 69, Woodstock 69, Cultural Revolution, Sexual Revolution. But homosexuality was still taboo. And the idea of homosexual practice being embraced by society as a whole, that sounded crazy. But being embraced by the church, that was so off the I mean, not even on the horizon, off the planet. If there are any pockets of, quote, gay Christian or gay liberation theology, whatever, it was so off the beaten path. Yet this prophetic word came in 1973.
Fourthly, I see homosexuals and lesbians. Welcome to the Super Church Union. I see this Super World Church in the guise of understanding, accepting homosexuals and lesbians into its fellowship. Homosexual and lesbian love will be vindicated by the leadership of this church union. Homosexuals will not only be welcome, but they'll be encouraged to continue in their practices. Homosexual and lesbian ministers will not only be ordained and given places of authority, they'll be heralded as a new breed of pioneer evangelists introducing new concepts of love and evangelism. I see in nearly every major city in the United States and around the world, homosexual churches catering exclusively to the spiritual needs of their own kind with full recognition from organized religion. Their Sunday school and church literature distributed to their children will suggest to teenagers that homosexuality is a normal and acceptable form of Christian practice.
All right. Is that a prophetic word or what? And the whole super church concept, there may be more that happens out of that, but you already have it through the alliance of liberal churches where these different church groups are coming together. And the leaders, you know, Vicki Eugene Robinson, openly gay, ordained Episcopalian bishop. He's a pioneer. He's a trendsetter. He's got the new message. We are the bigots. We are the intolerant ones. We are the Neanderthals. We are the ones who are using the Bible to bash and hurt others. It's time for equality. It's time for love. It's time for tolerance. This prophetic word is unfolded in front of us, friends. And those of us who hold to biblical morality are considered to be the arch enemy. I get branded as the arch homophobe on some gay websites. Why? Because we are the only thing standing against full societal embrace of homosexual practice. It's the truth, but knowing the truth can also liberate because we have the answer in Jesus. We'll be back with your calls and a whole lot more.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
So I played at the beginning of the first hour, the beginning of this first half hour or second half hour of the show, a clip from Pastor David Wilkerson, our late beloved brother who is now in the presence of the Lord. What an example his life has been. Prophecy in 1973 about the open embrace of homosexual practice in churches around the world, and that there would even be gay churches around the world. Friends, go to Jesus.com, and to your shock, you'll find Metropolitan Community Church, gay denomination with branches all over the world. It's the truth. And those of us who stand up and speak out for what is right, those of us who say, you know, God's ways are better, those of us who say to society, the reason that society conveys benefits on marriage is because marriage conveys benefits on society. That's why the only marriage we recognize is the only marriage we've ever recognized, the union of a man and a woman. Those of us who say that are now guilty of bigotry, hatred, intolerance, and we are the ones who are not following Jesus. How light has become darkness, how right has become wrong, how that which is bitter has been called sweet. Everything turned around backwards. Thank God for truth. Thank God truth will triumph. Friends, society is telling us, the world is telling us, gay activists are telling us, and it may not be these words, but this is the spirit of it. We will intimidate and we will manipulate until you will capitulate. And we just smile and say, we'll bow down to Jesus, not your agenda, not your ideals, not your values. We'll bow down to Jesus and we'll do what's right in his sight. Come on. That's what we're called to do. We can make a difference. Look, my goal is not that same-sex marriage will never be legal in my lifetime. No, my goal is to obey the Lord. My goal is to stand up for what's right. My goal is to honor him and see his kingdom advanced in the midst of this fallen, sinful world and to see Jesus exalted. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Remember, things have shifted so radically that if you donate money to a political campaign that says marriage is the union of man and woman, you're going to be singled out as a bigot. You may have people coming by your house and yelling at you. You may have your business boycotted. I mean, you are not allowed. You are not allowed. We will shut you down. You are not allowed to oppose. I mentioned this yesterday on the air. A gentleman who had been an Olympic medal gold medal winner, Peter Vidmar. He was chief of mission for U.S. Olympic team 2012. He had donated money to support Proposition 8, that marriage is the union of a man and woman. Okay? And he gets outed for this. He gets exposed for this. It got so controversial, he had to resign. Do you understand how crazy this is? You are not allowed to say marriage is the union of a man and woman without being called a bigot. Do you understand how things have been so twisted? What? For one large reason is because we've lost our voice. We don't just need a political leader, just men and women, godly men and women, moms, dads, students, people at work, standing up for what's right. That's how we will make the difference. And it'll begin ultimately in the prayer room. Mary in Waipahu, Hawaii, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello.
Aloha. Hello, Mary. Aloha.
Hi, Dr. Brown. My name is Mary. I wanted to thank you for your ministry. You're a great blessing to us, and it helps me to serve the Lord better. I just wanted to say I did have a difficult time with this cultural problem that is this, you know, about homosexuality. I was fired by the Department of Education here in Hawaii at a high school where I was teaching because some of the football students who knew I was a Christian came and reported to me that some of the homosexual students were taking liberties by fondling them inappropriately. So I decided to do something about it, make mention to some of the vice principals at the school. It's a large school. We had a couple of different principals there. The teacher who was directing the gay club threatened to sue the school, and so instead of that happening, they fired me. But I just wanted to tell you that I want to encourage you and all the people that work for your situation, your organization, to continue. Because during that time, it was very hard for me.
I love teaching. I cannot teach in the Department of Education anymore in the public schools, but I do teach in private situations, thank God. But it was a very hard time, and your organization and people like you who dare to stand, it's good to hear.
Well, Mary, let me just understand this. You were reporting inappropriate sexual touching, inappropriate sexual conduct. It happened to be homosexual, but that's what you were reporting, that it was inappropriate sexual conduct.
Yeah, that is correct. There was a couple of the people.
Okay, would it have been inappropriate if it was heterosexual?
I told him, and if I had gotten a lawyer and stood up against it all, I probably would have been able to do something about it, but it all happened so quickly. It was a while back, too. But
How many years back?
1995.
That far back. Mary, if you could do me a favor, though.
Because not too many people were speaking out against it at that time.
Amazing.
God, that they are now, because it is a real big problem among teens. So I do street witnessing, and it is a major problem among the young people. They're forced to accept it.
Yeah, it is out there loud and proud. You know, Mary. Well, bless you. It's obviously too late to go back and revisit that. But if you ever get a chance, just drop me a line at askdrbrown.org with your story, just in writing. I'd like to have that on record. As outrageous
as about
yeah, if you ever feel that you need to explore that and have those doors open, we can refer you to godly attorneys who will plead your case for free, and who would love to come against, who would love to come against the injustice. So drop us a line, askdrbrown.org. All right,
and thank you, Dr. Brown, for being bold. I do see it will get harder, but I appreciate people that stand up and say it is wrong, and that is so important.
Well, God bless you. Thank you, Mary. And again, write to us, and we can get you some help that perhaps can open doors again to get you back into teaching more broadly as you desire to be. Look, someone called in my first hour from Long Island and said, look, I agree with you, the homosexual practice is wrong, but there's all kinds of other sexual sins are wrong, and there's drunkenness and drug abuse and all kinds of other issues and heterosexual issues and divorce, you know, whatever. Rampant no-fault divorce and so on and so forth. We have all these other issues. Why concentrate on this? I said, well, here's the difference. Of course these things are wrong, and of course we preach against them, and you could read books I've written for years and years about other issues of morality, other issues of sin in the church, in the society, where we need to repent and go to God. But you don't have adultery pride parades in your city. You don't have a celebration of adultery curriculum in your schools. You don't have the military is not asked to embrace adultery, but it is told you have to embrace same-sex practice now. So there is an activist agenda that's knocking on our door. Trust me, if you told me 10 years ago that I would have this burden, this calling to address it, it would have seemed very odd, because you know, so many other things I'm given to, and we are given to. I'm involved in Jewish evangelism all the time, and reaching out to the nations all the time, and seeking to call people deeper in God and seek the Lord and pray and obey Him. This is something knocking on our doors, friend. And this is ultimately, you heard what happened to this woman. I don't know the details of the story, but you heard her story. Gay activism is coming to take away your religious freedoms and your freedom of conscience. Many gay activists would deny it, but that's where it is going. Those who came out of the closet want to put you and me in the closet. 866-34-TRUTH. Lori in Portland, Oregon, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. I just could cry over my joy that somebody is speaking all the things that are on my heart, that I believe, that I am seeing, that I've been, I'm 64 years old, so I have watched this world change, you know, and the old movies, if you watch movies that are made in the 40s, you get one picture. If you watch movies today that are set in the 40s, you get a whole nother picture. They're rewriting history in the textbooks. I worked also at a high school, and I dealt with a lot of that stuff. So I just want to congratulate you and pray for you, and And stay brave. You are brave. I'm just so thankful for you.
Well, Lori, God bless you. Thank you. You be strong, and I do appreciate your prayers. Hey, friends, on the heels of that, would you stand with me? Would you stand with us? We're not going to back down in Jesus' name, nor are we going to lash out in hate. We're going to overcome hatred with love. We're going to overcome lies with truth. But we would really love it if you'd stand with us. In every city where we are, we need 50 new torchbearers to stand with us. 100% of the money goes to help us reach more people through radio and through our ministry around the world. Here's the number to call, 1-800-278-9978. And there are all kinds of special perks. We'll tell you about that the other side of the break. 1-800-278-9978 to become a torchbearer. I'll tell you how we can bless you if you do that when we come back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks so much for joining us today on The Line of Fire. Boy, I'm not able to get to some very important calls today. I'm going to get to as many as I can. One caller, a daughter in a lesbian relationship, tearing up the family. This is not just something out there. This is something in our families, in our homes, and people are being encouraged to do it. It's one thing to recognize people struggling with same-sex attraction, but people are being encouraged by the society to come out at 12, 13 years old, 10 years old, identify as transgender, identify as bisexual, identify as gay, lesbian. And these are people God loves. These are people Jesus died for. Many of these are people in relationships and other situations. There are a lot of implications. We have the answer in Jesus. Hey, before I go back to the phones, just to let you know that those of you who become monthly torchbearers and support our work with $25 a month, not only are you helping us reach hundreds of thousands, millions of people in many, many different ways through radio, through internet, through our outreach to the Jewish people, through our missionaries around the world, but you will also be blessed yourself. We send you a new message, one of my new messages every month on CD. You get 15% discount on all of our online classes. 15% on a discount on all of your online purchases and free access, absolutely free access to all of our online classes. We just added a brand new one today, Principles of Holiness. So you can study my holiness class free online. There's a video, video on demand, holiness, Jewish roots, Principles of Revival, classes I taught at Fire School of Ministry. We videotaped them and we put them online. You get them free as a monthly torchbearer. So if you can stand with us, that would be amazing. Here's the number to call, 1-800-278-9978. Carissa in St. Augustine, Florida, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown.
Hey.
I'm not really sure what the solution here is, and I'm not really bringing a solution to the table. I just want to question the idea about meeting the gay agenda with equal aggressiveness. I don't really see how this is a way to win people over or to show the love of Christ or anything like that. And I'm not saying that I agree with gay marriage or gay people in the church as clergy members. I'm just asking, what good does it do to come at it so aggressively? Because the truth is that's what they're going to ask. They're going to ask, why aren't you coming at other people that have pride issues, lust issues, like adultery issues with the same things? And so it's just a big problem that I just don't really think meeting it so aggressively is going to solve.
Carissa, let me respond on three levels, but thank you. Thank you very much for raising the question. Number one, my first and foremost goal is to pray for the salvation of those in the homosexual community. And what I found is that when we are alerted to the agenda, when we are alerted to what's happening in the society, that it gets us praying much more and praying for people. So the commission the Lord gave me was reach out and resist. Reach out to the homosexual community with compassion, resist the agenda with courage. So even though I've written on the agenda and I'll talk about it, just finished a meeting with leaders, and when I was asked about praying, I said the first thing we have to do is pray for God's heart for the homosexual community. We've helped raise up a house of prayer that spends a lot of time just praying for the love of God to reach out to the homosexual community, and I'm constantly looking to build relationships. The more I've gotten into the agenda issues, the more I've sought to build relationships in the homosexual community and lead people to Jesus. So that's first and foremost, that we have a gospel answer. Second thing is this. This is different than pride, lust, because you don't have first grade teachers indoctrinating little kids about how good fornication is or why adultery is important. You don't have gender being broken down. You don't have cross-dressing being encouraged with little children. You don't have the very undermining of the meaning of marriage. You don't have an absolute threat to religious liberties, freedoms of conscience, because people are out committing adultery, or people are getting drunk on a weekend, or people are fornicating. Whereas with gay activism, your very religious freedoms are at stake. With gay activism, the very things you value for your kids are at stake, the very definition of marriage. So contrary to the other things, and this is the third point, this is knocking at our door, Carissa. This is not something I went looking for. This is knocking at our door. This is now influencing our entire military. This is causing chaplains to have to resign and people to quit the military. This is something where if you now say, you know, marriage is the union of a man and woman, in some states you're considered a bigot, and you will be persecuted with hostility. So we have to speak up, because this is knocking at our door. This is coming our way. This is something that we don't have a choice about. But, Carissa, I want to affirm, I want to agree with you that in doing this, we cannot do it self-righteously. I want to affirm what you're saying, that we must examine our own hearts, look at sin in our own lives, repent of what's wrong there, get our house in order. And that's what I've preached and taught for decades, and that's what I continue to seek to live out. And even on this broadcast, Chris, on the Line of Fire, Wednesday is our day to focus on moral cultural issues, and that's why this will come up even more on Wednesdays. But I must sound the alarm. I must do what's right. Otherwise, you and I are going to have to apologize to our kids and to our grandkids. But thank you so much for weighing in. I appreciate that. Everyone that's been trying to get through today, Friday, if you've got scriptural questions, some calls I can't get to, you know, what about New Testament scriptural evidence and what about Jude and the punishment of Sodom and Gomorrah, I'm unable to get to all your calls. But thanks for reaching out to us. I'll do my best to get to some more calls on Friday when you've got questions, we've got answers, try to get to some of these issues as well. Let me say this. I urge you. To be a son and daughter of Issachar, and to understand the times, and to know what we should do. I did not go looking for gay activism. It came knocking at my door. I did not go looking for this issue. It came knocking on the door of our schools and our preschools in the area where I live in Charlotte, North Carolina, and marching down our streets and support it big time, very big time by corporate America with multiplied millions and millions and millions of dollars. It is now knocking at the door of our churches, our denominations. Come on, Tuesday, just yesterday, the Presbyterian Church, USA, PCUSA, votes to ordain practicing homosexual men and women. And what this means is that you and I who hold to scriptural enemies are quickly becoming the enemy. You and I who hold to scriptural values are quickly becoming marginalized. You and I who hold to scriptural values are being silenced. Friends, it is time in love, in compassion, in truth, to lift up our voices, reach out and resist. The Lord spoke it to me. Perhaps he's speaking it to you as well. Reach out to the homosexual community with compassion. Resist the agenda with courage. A Queer Thing Happened to America will really help equip you, especially to understand what we're dealing with, the issues. Get a copy if you haven't. And if you can be a torchbearer or one-time supporter, give us a call at 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line, friends, today, the alarm is sounding. The wake-up call is going out through the land. Do you hear it? Are you being stirred? That means there is hope. That means God is getting ready to move. That means we could be on the verge of outpouring. Are you ready?